Hi out there, we're Nathan, and you're listening to
Tell the Band to Go Home on 101.5 UMFM on your radio dial.
Indeed. This is Tell the Band to Go Home. Welcome, everybody. 2 to 4 p.m. We're here. We play singer-songwriters. My name's Jeff, and I'll be your ringleader for this circus today. It sounds like it's going to be a busy show. We got the big Western Canadian Music Awards going on this weekend. Tonight, in fact, the big awards show at the Big Walker Theater. And if anybody doesn't have tickets yet and wants to go, you should probably give us a call sometime during the show today. We can probably hook you up today. We got some tickets to give away and some very special guests. There's so many people in town. I couldn't resist the temptation to get them all down here, and it sounds like we're going to have a whole bunch of them down here today. We'll start it off in a few minutes with a guy that I've been a fan of musically for a long time, and then we started corresponding electronically for a long time, and I finally got to meet this guy and saw him live on Thursday night at the big UMFM Presents Non-Showcase Showcase, a great show. And so we'll play us something from his great band, and then we'll talk to Ken Beattie. This is something from Radiogram, from Unbetween. Tell the band
about it. I was lost in the park. I had to walk along the street. And I was found in the dark by someone I didn't want to meet. Thank you.
cross many lies. I'll never put my faith into stars. I ran to you, I gave you everything I never had. I ran from you, I saved you. Was it all that?
That is the lovely Radiogram. Man, I love that song, Lost in the Park, there from Unbetween. Back in 2000, we welcomed Ken Beattie, leader of Radiogram, the king of Radiogram.
Hi, like Jeff.
How are you, sir?
I'm a little throaty this morning. Yeah. Throaty, is that a word?
It's been a very busy weekend.
Froggy, indeed. I'm froggy.
We've been out and about, seeing all kinds of stuff and enjoying ourselves probably far too much this weekend.
Yeah.
So we're both a little slow today, but welcome here. It's great to have you on the show. I'm very excited.
Forward to being on the show forever. Like you said at the top there, we've been emailing and corresponding forever, and yeah, so it's good.
Nice to
see your face.
I've been threatening to kidnap you and bring you down here to the studio. I'm glad I didn't have to go to those lengths.
That's true. I got my dad to drive me down, so that's cool.
That's good. Tell us a bit about yourself, first of all. You're from Winnipeg. Were you born and raised here?
I was born and raised in Winnipeg. Graduated from Westwood Collegiate.
That's in the hood, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, but I've been gone for quite a while. So I left when I was like 20 or something like that.
Is this something 20. I said?
No. If I hadn't known you back then, I probably would still be here, of course. I've been in Vancouver for a while. I mean, I just went out there. I don't know. I wanted to move away from my hometown. So, and then I thought I'd be back, but I just never was, and then I met the woman who's to become my wife, and well, you guys know how that goes.
Sealed the deal.
Yeah.
Were you playing music, writing music when you were here in Winnipeg?
I was not writing music or playing music when I was in Winnipeg. Yeah, it started when I went to Vancouver. I was in this kind of basement band, and we had a bunch of equipment. I was living with some musicians, and then I started singing with the band, and we had played at house parties and stuff. And then I learned to play rudimentary guitar before, so I picked up the guitar again and started teaching myself to play. And then I realized I was writing the lyrics for this band, but then I just realized that I'd been writing songs my whole life. I just hadn't been writing them.
Yeah,
I just weren't getting there. You know, they're in my brain, but they weren't on the fretboard. So yeah.
Right. So when did Radiogram sort of come to be? I know we were just talking about that a little bit off the air, but
I guess Radiogram became a band. I recorded two albums with a band called The Empties that were on Cargo Records, and then Cargo folded, and then The Empties were, sort of a rock band, kind of a folk rock band. I had a bunch of new songs, and I wanted to the idea was to maybe do a solo album.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to experiment with more instrumentation. I thought the songs I was writing were, a little slower, a little more, mature and stuff, and I just wanted to switch it up. So I started recording the solo album. Unbetween was supposed to be like a Ken solo album, but we basically became a band around that album. I used to play every second Tuesday at the Sugar Refinery, and people would come down to see and then sit in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I'd ask them to come into the studio, and then, I think what you've got the lyrics, there, liner notes, there's like 20 people on the album or something like that. So, yeah, and then out of that 20 people, there became a core of five of us, and we became the band, and we played some really big shows really early. The album came out in 2000. We were playing for like Giant Sand. Opened up for them and Richard Buckner and the Weaker Thans, and then we went on tour and everyone liked the album and got good reviews, and so we decided to make a second one, and now we're making a third one.
It's been a while though, hasn't it?
Been a while, yeah.
2002, was that the
the second one was in 2002.
So it's been a while in between, but I know the band had some successes, especially you guys did really well in the UK, I understand.
Yeah, we went over there and did a tour, and it was really great, yeah.
And so how, how do you feel about what the band had accomplished up to that point? Like, it sounds like you were able to get a lot of acclaim pretty much pretty quickly.
Yeah, it really surprised us with Unbetween. It just became instantly, you know, it charted and it got these amazing reviews and just tons and tons and tons of press. And we got a distribution deal in the UK, and we went over there to tour. We actually went over there to tour when the second album came out, which, you know, in hindsight, I'm still not sure if I did the right thing. There was this label over there called Loose that wanted to put out the second album. But we'd already booked a tour and everything like that for the spring, and they couldn't put out till the fall. And the guy there basically said, if you come over and do a bunch of press now and play stuff now, I'm not going to be able to put out your album. But you know what? We'd had an agent that took a chance on us on booking a tour and stuff, and we were going in like 6 weeks, and I just thought we just had to, live up to what we'd promised people. So we went anyways.
Really?
And it was fun. There were some really good shows. We played this one show in Brighton, and it was packed, and you could have heard a pin drop, and it was just people were just squished in, and it was just so quiet, and people were singing the lyrics to the songs from the first album, and
that's got to be cool.
It was really special,
to go somewhere that far away and have people that interested in what you're doing.
And meet people, and just people are friends and right away, and I mean, I still have relationships from that tour, like some lasting email relationships. And,
that's great.
Correspondence.
How receptive was Canada, though?
Well, you know, it was hit and miss, right? You know, you do those long 3-4 week Canadian tours, and you know, it's Tuesday night in Regina, and some people come out, and you know, and then there's other shows that it's totally packed out. So
yeah,
it was hit and miss.
So when did your involvement in the other side of the music industry come about? First of all, we should congratulate you on your big award yesterday.
Well, thank you. Yes,
independent publicist and radio promoter. Of the year, Western Canadian Music
Awards. I won an award yesterday. I've been nominated for 3 times. The third time I've been nominated, but I guess 3 times lucky. So yeah, that's cool. So that's my day job now. I'm a publicist, a music publicist, and I have a company out of Vancouver that I do that with, and a little bit of a management company too. How it came about is just through Radiogram. Basically, I would we'd come in off the road, and some local bands are asking me to do their publicity because they'd seen what a good job I'd done with mine. And I'd had a sales job in music before, too. I actually worked for Cargo Records for a while, like for 3-4 years back in the mid-90s. So, I had some experience and stuff like that. And so I started doing it, you know, just when I was in town and just kind of, you know, on a sort of a per-project basis. And I got – people kept calling, and I kept doing more and more of it. And all of a sudden I got to work a lot less hours at my restaurant job, and it was pretty cool, Jeff. So
that's great.
You know, and then when we came off the road for the last Radiogram album, you know, we toured it really hard. We did 3 major tours, and which is a lot for us. You know, we all have jobs and stuff. I mean, it's independent indie music, as you know, right? So we'd work, at that point, we'd been working really hard for about 3 years straight. So we decided to take a break, and the break ended up being pretty long because everyone got really busy. So, but I've been writing songs again for about a year, and we got bed tracks for 20 songs. So we're going to whittle that down and hopefully put out our album in March.
That's fantastic. I remember talking to you a year and a half ago or so, and you sort of ended up doing some shows sort of by accident, I think. You ended up doing a solo show, kind of just got pushed into it or something, as I recall. It wasn't, you weren't really intending to start doing shows again.
No, I wasn't. I was just playing some solo shows just to try out the new songs and stuff like that. And then I got invited to play here for Juno Fest.
Yeah.
And was warming up for Feist and Julie Duran, so that was pretty cool. But I was going to play with my guitar player, Jonathan, because we'd actually just played a show warming up for Boy at South by Southwest. So people were asking what was going on, and they wanted me to play. And so I said, well, you know, the band's not together, so they invited me to play solo or with Jonathan, and I guess I just decided to take the plunge. I'm not the best guitar player, and I was really super nervous about playing solo, but especially the Juno Fest show was interesting because it was at the West End Culture Center, totally sold out. And I found out that day that Jonathan couldn't come. He had a family illness, and I had to play by myself. And man, was I freaked out. Never been that freaked out before. Never been that freaked out since either.
Really?
But it was like jumping out of an airplane. So I was really exhilarated after. I don't think I had a great show, but I didn't have a bad show.
Yeah.
And so I had to play solo. It was really nerve-wracking.
But obviously I couldn't even get into the show. It was so packed. Like I couldn't
– Yeah.
I literally couldn't get in. But from what I heard, it was a success. I mean, people seemed to like it. So.
Well, there was a really good review in the Free Press and a good review in the Sun for it, but the review in Exclaim was not that good. So 2 out of 3. Of course, you know, you're talking 2 dailies in one city versus a monthly that goes nationally. So I don't know. I probably came up from the short end of the stick there. But
But since then, what's has that sort of spurred you on to do more of those types of shows? Or?
Yeah, well, I really liked it. I ended up doing a little later that year. I ended up doing a solo tour through Western Canada, like playing through Alberta, Edmonton, Calgary, Lethbridge and stuff. And what I liked about it was, you know what, I just got on the plane and I just went. And, you know, I borrowed a friend's car and I took a bus and I just had a backpack and my guitar. And it was really, really cool. Didn't have to phone and make sure everyone was showing up at the same time. Where are we going for breakfast? Who's taking in the drums? Did we pack the van? Who's got the hotel key? Like, none of that stuff. It was just me. And I don't know, I felt it was cool. It was good.
Kind of liberating, I guess.
It was liberating. Like, I don't think it's still the best form for my music. I still think that, you know, I mean, it's different. I thought we had a good show the other night with him. It was just Jonathan and I playing. But, you know, I still prefer playing with the rhythm section as well. Our drummer is really important, Steve Weglin. He's really, really important to the sound of Radiogram, in my mind.
Well, for sure. And the songs that we hear on the discs are so well fleshed out by those great players.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a bit of a different thing when we see a solo, but I don't know, when I saw you solo with Jonathan the other night, I thought it was great because it's kind of that old thing where it sort of highlights the songs a bit more when there's a lot going on. Sometimes it kind of masks the great lyrics and the great job you're doing. But I get to focus more on your
songs.
Well,
that's good. I mean, I guess if you feel confident about your songs, then it should be okay. And that's what I kept telling myself when I was really nervous at the beginning doing these solo shows. Like, it's all about the song. It's all about the song. And I'd do different arrangements where, you know, there wasn't a solo or something like that. I mean, I can only play chords and rhythm and, you know, and so So I guess I have to feel that it's strong and the lyrics are strong enough that people will pay attention to that, because they're certainly not paying attention to the guitar playing.
Yeah.
Or at least I don't want them to.
we were talking a bit earlier also off the air about sort of the differences between the two records. And you had an interesting take on the two records.
Yeah, well, the first one was out of the gate. And, you know, again, the band became a band around that album. So it kind of was what it was. And it took us all by surprise. There was one night when we were coming to the studio and we were doing some mixes. And a friend of ours came in and he just looked around and he said, "You have no idea how good this is, do you?" And Sean, the producer, and myself were like, "Really?" He's like, "This, you just have no idea." And it was then that I started thinking, wow, maybe we're onto something. And he ended up, you know, being right. With the second album, it was a lot less off the cuff because those are songs that had been written during the tours and stuff like that. So we'd been playing them on the road.
Right.
So we just went in and we recorded them and all the parts were done and ready to go and written and stuff like that. And I found with the second album, the songs were darker and longer and slower. So with the new album that we're working on too, it's completely different. Again, no one knows the songs yet. We're going in, recording them right without anyone knowing them. In fact, that's been our problem. We're trying to record it live off the floor, and every time we go in, I've got two or three more new songs, and then everyone loves those songs. So now we've got 20 songs, right? So that's it. That's stopping. We're on to the overdub phase. No more new songs. So it's a completely different approach now. It's just trying to capture that energy that you have the first two or three times you're playing a song before you even heard it, and that's what we're going for in this one.
That's great. So it sounds like kind of an exciting time.
It is an exciting time. We did, you know, the sessions we've done in the last 3 months that we're recording is some of the best days I've had this year. I mean, it's really, really fun. You know, you sit with your friends in a studio and everyone's in the same room and it's really, really nice.
That's
fantastic. Like coming home.
Do you want to play us a song there?
Sure. Yeah, I'll play a song.
Looks like you're set to go.
This song's called Avenue Street. I wrote this song while I was in New York. I'd always wanted to go to New York, and I finally got a chance to go last year. And it's just so inspiring. I mean, you just wake up. You know, you see all the street signs and whatnot, and it's like lyrics for songs just come to your mind. And so I didn't even have my guitar with me when I was in New York, but I still ended up writing a song because it forced its way into my head. I wasn't even trying to write a song. We're just walking around. I wrote this song. I pass the park by Columbus Circle and I smell the scent of urine and I wonder what city you're in this heat. As I stumble along Broadway looking for the F train, are you wandering just like me down the Avenue Street? Down the Avenue Street. Well, the humidex is rising as I'm patiently surmising how to get from here to you without leaving my feet. No direction home is playing and I Think of what he's saying and what would I say to you if we ever meet on the Avenue Street, on the Avenue Street. Hold on, a safe house is always safe. Sing that song on if you stay away. It won't take long, I'm at the YMCA. And the Avenue Street is calling me, it's calling me. Past the park as I walk in circles, now I know what city you're in, and I wonder just where have I been in this heat. As I stumble off the SkyTrain, I'm getting off the wrong way, trying to find the light of day on the Avenue Street. On the Avenue Street, will we ever meet? On the Avenue Street, on the Avenue Street, on the Avenue Street, the Avenue. Hold on, sing that song, it won't take long to sing that song.
Very nice indeed.
Oh,
I like
thanks.
That one. Do you sort of have to remind yourself to be keenly aware to watch for inspirations when you're walking down streets and when you're meeting new people and stuff like that?
I'm pretty lucky. I've heard this before talking to other songwriters and stuff, but it's definitely the channeling thing for me. I write all the songs that I write are when I'm walking. Always.
Really?
Always. That's I start walking and when Radiogram came off the road and I hadn't written for a while, I tried to write and it sit down and write and stuff, and it didn't happen. So I just thought, well, it's going to happen again. I didn't it wasn't like a writer's block or anything. Yeah. Like that. I just was patient and I just kept walking, and then all of a sudden it started happening again. And it's just, yeah. So what I do is I walk around, I have a notepad, and I just, lyrics come to my head. It all starts with the lyrics and the melodies attached to the lyrics. And then I write it down, and then I'll look at it weeks later. And if I remember the melody, then I know it's worth working on a little bit more. And then I have to teach myself how to play the song.
Yeah,
that's in my head.
Really?
So that's how I write. Yeah.
That's an interesting, and it always works the same for you.
Yeah, always.
Yeah,
I don't sit down and start playing a chord progression and then putting lyric over top. It always starts the lyrics and the melodies. Always.
And then do you have to labor over it after that, or does it just sort of work itself out while you're walking, and that's pretty much the song?
It's pretty much the song. It's 50% done after that. I have to labor over it in terms of what key is it in, or change the key, and then the arrangement and that sort of stuff. And then sometimes I'll sit down and go, well, I want to write a bridge. And sometimes to be honest, and what I've done with all these new songs is I've actually edited them quite a bit.
Okay.
I've some of them were 4 or 5 chorus songs, and I've tried to edit. So that was kind of fun, because I'm telling a story, but it's like, well, how can I tell this story in 3 verses and 2 choruses instead, with a bridge? And it's like, well, yeah, and I can. And that's actually fun. It's challenging, and it's kept me on my lyrical toes.
That's neat. So are they done by the time you play them for somebody else then?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. What was interesting about these new songs is I just came in with these songs. I'm like, these are the songs, if anyone's got any ideas, So we did change keys and arrangements and everything like that on the new songs, which I was happy with, because, it allowed everyone else in the band to have some emotional investment in it as well. And people write their own parts. Like Jonathan will write a guitar riff that might end up being like the killer I was about to say the killer hook of the song. excuse me. I was thinking about that radio guy that was at the casino last night. That was, I digress.
That was a pretty surreal experience.
Jeff and I were at a few of the same shows last night.
I can't wait till Leroy gets here to talk a bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
That show. They placed Leroy Stagger at the casino with Barney, I guess, sort of fit there. Yeah, but
the sound was immaculate, though. I got to say that. The sound was spot on.
bit of a different crowd than Leroy typically plays for, I would imagine.
Yeah. But you know what? Apparently he sold tons of CDs and he was like signing them in the grand ballroom.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. Well, we're digressing. Cool. I apologize.
Yeah. Now I've totally lost my thought. But tell me a bit about these festivals for you. Obviously, you're here. You kind of have an interesting job here because you got to play for us on Thursday night here at the UMFM showcase.
Yeah.
And then, but I guess your main reason for being here was sort of industry.
That's right.
Schmoozing and stuff.
Yeah. Well, work really. I mean, you know, as a publicist, I mean, I'm a national publicist, so I do national launches from coast to coast. And when there's these festivals happening, you say everyone that you work with during the year is all in the same town at the same time. So it's time, you know, so you go to meet them and, you know, have a drink with them, have coffee with them, and just, you know, keep those relationships up and, you know, possibly find a new contract and stuff like that. I mean, I'm self-employed, so I'm constantly making sure that I, you know, I have work 6 months ahead of time. I got three kids and stuff, so, you know, got to keep that going. But, yeah, it always works out, and it's really nice to see friends. And I mean, look, I mean, I got to meet you this time. You know, definitely one of the highlights of my trip. But yes, I'm lucky because then I can come and play a show and do that. I did that at Canadian Music Week in March in Toronto as well. I went out and I played a solo show on the Thursday part of the festival, and then I, you know, did the rest of the stuff. I like to play on the Thursday. That way it's, the show's out of the way, and then I can, you know, not worry about it.
So do you actually, I mean, I always kind of wonder how much actual business you get done at these things, or is it mostly just it's just kind of the hanging out and meeting people.
But you know what? I think that is business in some ways. Like, it doesn't feel like business, and I'm very, very lucky. I love my job. I'm very, very lucky to be working in something I love. But yeah, it doesn't feel like work. I mean, you have meetings and stuff like that, and you discuss strategies and things like that. But I think mostly it's relationship building and keeping your existing relationships fresh and current and fun, right?
Yeah.
It's fun. It doesn't feel like work, sure. I didn't mean to say that it is business, but, you know.
It is great that you're able to sort of support yourself on it, though. It's, I mean, the music industry, as you know, is such a hard, in Canada, it's such a hard place to make any money or to even do anything that you care about sometimes, because it's it can be a tough haul. But I guess you sort of lucked in and obviously had some hard work and talent behind you.
Hard work, for sure. I mean, I work 60 hours a week every week pretty much. I haven't had more than 2 days off in a row since Christmas of last year. So definitely working hard, just building stuff. But you know what? It's been 2 years since I worked my restaurant job. So 2 years in Thanksgiving. I remember Thanksgiving was the last day I worked. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, growth and forward movement.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly a very lucky person.
Being self-employed, though, are you able to do a lot of that work at home? So you're not always in an office somewhere?
Or? I don't. You know, I used to work from home, and I just got an office 4 years ago. But I used to work 3 years ago. I used to work from home all the time, but we've got three kids at home, and we've got a youngest one. He's 2.5. So when he was born, I moved out into an office because you know, he's at home and I'm working
at home. 2.5 years.
But I did that for the longest time, Jeff. I mean, I was working a restaurant at night. I was doing publicity contracts during the day. I was a full-time caregiver for our two children at the time. And it was a crazy, crazy life. Like, I was sleeping like 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, like every night for years on end, just trying to keep the music, the songwriting music part together and the publicity growing to a point that when I was no longer the full-time caregiver and the kids were at school, that I could turn it into a full-time job. And it all worked out, but it was crazy years. I can't believe I survived those years.
There's got to still be some pressure, though. I mean, to make, because the music industry, it's you know, there's no such thing as job security, obviously. So
absolutely,
so you have to keep working to make sure that you still have a job in 6 months.
Or absolutely, I mean, you got to do the jobs that you're contracted to do now. You know, whatever tour or album that you're launching. You know, but then you also have to look down the road and make sure that you've got something else coming up too.
Yeah,
it's yeah, and then there's the whole, you know, you got a year. Accounting and pay your bills and books, and it's like just ridiculous. It's pretty crazy running your own business. But our nanny said that to me. She's like, I don't understand why you work so much. You know, you run your own business, so can't you make your own hours? Like, yeah, I am making my own hours. They just have to be 60 hours a week.
We probably should have done this sooner, but do you want to talk about some of the people that you work with and help out?
yeah, I mean, there's going to be close to 50 albums that I've worked on this year, so it's pretty crazy. Current stuff that I'm working on is a Jenny Whiteley album. I just actually talked to her on the way here. I arranged an interview for her on the way to this interview. She's really great. Jenny Whiteley, Lily Frost from Toronto I'm working with. Coco Love Alcorn from Vancouver. This band, great band called 2 Hours Traffic from Charlottetown.
You know PEI. I like. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent band. Yeah. A band called The Ride Theory from Hamilton. They're going on a tour right now. I've got Bob Egan, who's the steel player from Blue Rodeo, ex of Wilco and Freakwater.
Yeah.
That's really exciting for me. This band called I Like Trains from Leeds, UK. Priya Thomas from Toronto. Probably some others that I'm forgetting, and I'm sorry. I forgot you.
And of course, you work closely with our good friend Ox.
Oh yeah, see there we go. See, I'm missing. Like, not only do I work closely with him, do his publicity. I mean, I also help him manage the band and stuff like that. So it's very important. And Dustin Bentall as well.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the same thing with Ox and with Dustin Bentall, co-managing them and doing all their publicity and kind of helping them, you know, with build whatever we can build.
Yeah. That's neat, and obviously it's good for them to have somebody who's been on the music side as well. A lot of people who are sort of in your chair in the music industry are not musicians,
right?
But I think it's great that you bring both of those sides to the table, wherein you know because you've slept on floors and you've been on some of these tours, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
What to avoid and what to.
And I think that's why I've been successful, Jeff. And people have trusted me with their music because they know that I've been through it, and I'm not going to let anything slide because I just take it. You know, it's part of me, right? So
yeah, for sure. Uh oh.
We got some other players coming into the room.
The riffraff has entered.
Yeah.
Do you want to play one more song before those?
Yeah, sure. I'll play one more song before. Look, John Ellis is here. Leroy Stagger, Dustin Bentall. It's crazy. Okay, yes, I'll play one more song, and then we'll get some of these other crazy folks in here. Let's see here.
So many new songs. I mean,
it's true.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And also it would sound good, sort of solo acoustic. Ha. I wrote these words for you. They were not true. About some people that we never really knew. I tried to work it out. I made a list of nouns. You took a long, long drive as I walked around. Everything that I wrote just turned out wrong. And I never sang baby in a song. I want the world for you. I want it for me too. I want your cityscape with my mountain view. I took too long to find her love the right lines. And they all rang false. And they didn't rhyme. Yes, I change the words so often as I strum. But I never sang baby in a song. I see you everywhere. Your lips, your hair. You tried to pull me up, but I stayed right here. I found the great abyss, my final wish. Before I jump right in, give me one last kiss. By the time I make it back, I will be gone. And I wish I'd sang baby in a song. Yes, I change the words so often as I strum, but I never sang baby in a song. But I wish I'd sang baby in a song. Oh, I will never sing your name in a song.
Beautiful, beautiful. Every time I hear one of those new songs, I get more eager to hear that record. So what else needs to be done? When do we get it?
Overdubs, mixing, mastering, March.
All right. I think I can wait that long.
I don't know if I can.
Do we know who's putting it out?
Yeah, Endearing's putting it out.
Okay,
yeah.
That's
someone else might put it out, but Endearing's definitely putting it out. We're just a couple other larger things that are interested in licensing opportunities and stuff like that. We did these demos, which you played and stuff, and so that certainly helped out. And yeah,
same sort of cast of characters.
Yep, same cast of characters, same people. So
very good. Well,
I think actually this one will probably have less guests and stuff like this. It's gonna be more us, and we're self-producing it this time. Jonathan Anderson, who's our guitar player, and also Jonathan Inc. He's producing it at his home studio. So we're just it's been long enough time that we're just kind of getting just the core members together and just really. Gonna keep it in the family.
Then do we plan to tour after that?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be touring, working hard. Definitely.
All right.
And that's that's part of it too, right? We have to make sure that we get that all organized as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll play something off All the Way Home as you head back to home to Vancouver today.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you have any requests off that record?
Geez. Well, I don't know. No, whatever you think. Right.
How about Gone to Stay?
Sounds perfect.
It's not too long.
Okay. Thanks so much for this, Jeff.
Thanks for being here. I really, really do appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Well, I cut my hands picking up the pieces of the latest indecision. I eat my heart out as I eat the word. They have caused this deep incision. What doesn't kill you makes you weaker. It takes such strength to paint a picture of yourself stuck there.
And I've waited believe.